Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is the College Draft Podcast, and what a week to have the College Draft Podcast. We got all the combine invitees and the huge Kyler Murray news yesterday that we will dive into. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL journeyman, offensive lineman, 5 teams, 7 years, had a blast in my 20s. You can check me out on social media at Ross Tucker NFL, Twitter and Instagram. We are presented by betonline.ag. You just use that promo code podcast1 for the 50% welcome bonus. He is the video scouting guru for the Philadelphia Eagles, does an absolutely terrific job. The Eagles actually do an unbelievable job of sending Fran all over the place so he can cover the draft. They are in, I don't know how many organizations are like that, but it's very, very impressive. At FDuffy3 is Fran's Twitter handle. And Fran, by the way, I saw you recently got a blue check mark, dude. Whose butt did you kiss to get that thing?
Too many. No, it happened a couple months ago, and I just woke up one day and it was there. And I kept on living my life. Hasn't really changed much.
I love it. Well, I want to get right to our guest, Fran, because we got other stuff we'll talk about a little bit later. But anytime you have got Dane Brugler on, you want to maximize the time that you have with him. He is the NFL draft analyst for The Athletic. And yes, I write for The Athletic, and you guys know that I write a weekly column. I'm just telling you, the subscription to The Athletic, which is like $3 a month, they almost always have a deal, you can have like $3 a month, is worth it just for Dane Brugler's stuff, just his draft stuff. I have his top 10 position rankings bookmarked, so anytime anybody asks me anything about the draft, I just go pull it up, act like I know what I'm talking about, and just be, well, I kind of like this guy, but this guy's a little bit better. Dane Brugler, husband, father, amateur barbecue pitmaster, is my favorite. You got to check him out on Twitter as well, at DP Brugler. Dane, we always try to have you on the show at least a couple times a year. Really, really appreciate the time and coming on as always.
Oh, thanks, Ross, and Mr. Blue Checkmark. I appreciate it.
Dane, you've been killing it, by the way, for The Athletic. Are you liking that so far?
No, it's been great. It's been fantastic. Yeah, it came on in August. I think we both came on at the same time, and it's been a fun experience so far. And I got, what, just over 2 months to go before the draft, so going to finish strong here and try to provide the best draft coverage out there.
You know, I'm amazed, I really am, by all the comments that people have in the bottom of our stories. I mean, it's a very, very active community at The Athletic, which I really like. We want to get into, you know, we initially, Dane, wanted to have you on to talk some combine snubs and things like that. And we're gonna get into that, but I feel like we have to start with Kyler Murray. I want to get your thoughts on him from a lot of different levels. I want to get Fran's thoughts on him, and I'll give you mine as well. You know, I know you have a breakdown of Kyler, Dane. I mean, there are people now suggesting maybe he's a top 10 pick, maybe even number one to the Arizona Cardinals. What are your thoughts on Kyler Murray as an NFL prospect, and why was it so important that he did what he did yesterday?
And there's just so many layers to this conversation. It's really going to be a fascinating evaluation. And I mean, selfishly, from, you know, my perspective and our perspective, is it's great for us, because not only do we get to add a fun football player to the NFL, but it's going to make for more fun discussion during the draft process. And yeah, like you said, the latest domino to fall was a pretty big one. On Monday, he announced that he's 100% committed to becoming an NFL quarterback, which, you know, is something that he obviously needed to do before the combine if, you know, teams are going to take him seriously as a prospect. So the next step will be the combine. It's going to be interesting to see what Kyler decides to do. You know, does he throw? Does he, you know, go through the 40-yard dash, the agility drills? Does he even get measured? You know, we think he'll be around 5'9", probably around 185 to 190 pounds. What's his frame look like? Is he maxed out already in terms of body mass, in terms of bulk? You know, last year, Lamar Jackson, he had zero training for the 40-yard dash before the combine, and he used the I'm a quarterback excuse and as a reason not to run before the draft, and that rubbed a lot of teams the wrong way. And so will we see Kyler kind of, you know, use some of the similar reasoning for not doing a few things at the combine? It's going to be interesting to see if he's all in or maybe he waits to the pro day. So I think the biggest step for Kyler is going to be behind closed doors at the combine when he meets with teams. You know, how does he do on the whiteboard? You know, where is he mentally in his development when it comes to reading coverages, understanding progressions, protections, understanding just where he is above the neck is going to be a huge step. And not only when it comes to, you know, on the field, but just his character, his leadership, more so than any position. We know quarterbacks, an intangible position. So Kyler, are you ready to be a CEO of a franchise? You know, hopefully Kyler learned a little bit from Radio Row, Super Bowl week and that fiasco. And, you know, he's a little more buttoned up and matter of fact about his answers and, has a better understanding of what's about to come, and, you know, he's going to prove how committed he is. So the Kyler Murray discussion, so many layers. I think there's going to be probably three or four teams who are realistically going to consider Kyler Murray in the first round. But as we know, all it takes is one team. And, you know, when I was down in Mobile for the Senior Bowl, I was told, don't rule out Arizona. As much of a long shot as it sounds with, you know, Josh Rosen, you know, being a top 10 pick to Arizona last year, you can't rule that out. You know, Miami is a possibility. And he's just the ultimate wild card when it comes to the first round.
Yeah.
What do you think of Kyler? Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, you know, it's just going to be, you hit on it, Dan, in that the stuff at night is going to be the biggest thing for Kyler. Yeah. I mean, if he tests, I mean, he's going to post a legendary workout for the quarterback position. If he tests, we expect that he'll look good in terms of the drills, and the ball's going to come out of his hands sharp. We know what kind of arm he is, what kind of arm talent he is. To me, I mean, you talk with anybody you know, around the league, and it's talked about that, you know, you talk about that process, the interview process at night. He's going to get put through the ringer. Like, if you think Dan Patrick has hard-hitting questions, if you think like those are tough, like what he's going to see, they're going to try and make him. They're going to try and break him down. Like, they're going to try and make him sweat at those interviews. The best teams, the ones that are most interested, are going to. This statement was good. It's a step in the right direction. But they're going to really try and get to the bottom of whether or not he is fully committed and make sure. Like, are you going to do everything possible to be a franchise quarterback? Why should we take you in the top 10? Why should we take you in the first round and make you the face of our franchise? Why should we take that risk? That's the question that they're going to try and get some answers to over the course of the next 2 months. And those questions are going to start to get answered in a couple of weeks there in Indianapolis. That, to me, is the biggest next step for Kyler. Is he going to be able to prove to NFL teams that he's bought in? This statement was right. It was the right thing to do. It was necessary before he went out there. But now he's got to prove it. And I think that's going to be the big step for him going to Indianapolis.
It's going to be fascinating. I always wonder a little bit the size part of it. I mean, I compare him, and I don't study him as closely as you guys do, but I compare him to Russell Wilson, I guess, as the closest comp I've seen. I think he's that similar player. People seem to be concerned about how frail he is, or his relative lack of size. I guess my question for that, Dane, is like, what injuries does that come into play for, right? So, like, I mean, if you tear your ACL, you tear your ACL, whether you're 210 or a buck 90. If you sprain your ankle, you sprain your ankle, whether you're 210 or a buck 90. I guess part of me wonders, like, what is the injury that you get because you are thinner than you don't if you're bigger? Like, I get it in terms of running backs and breaking tackles and having power when they run. But in terms of a guy being able to stay in a game or injuries, I guess I wonder, like, what's the injury that's dependent upon how heavy you are?
Well, I think it's just more of a body armor, topic. And really, it's something that I think we kind of just assume that, you know, if you're 190 pounds compared to 215, you know, obviously it's a 25 pound difference. But we haven't seen a quarterback this size, you know, really since what, Doug Flutie. And, you know, it's just, we don't have the sample size to really understand how the lack of bulk and the lack of build is really going to play. Because even, you know, you look at Drew Brees and Baker Mayfield and Russell Wilson, you know, the shorter quarterbacks in the NFL, they're all about 25 pounds heavier than Kyler Murray. And, you know, the big thing with Kyler, too, is we haven't really seen him, you know, get beat up throughout the course of a season, throughout the course of a game. You know, at Oklahoma, you know, obviously he's an electric athlete, but he's also a pass-first quarterback. Watch him behind that outstanding offensive line at Oklahoma. You know, he had 5-6 seconds at times to throw the football, and, you know, he could survey the field. He didn't have to use his legs all the time. When he did use his legs, he would slide, he'd go out of bounds. He didn't take a lot of huge hits. Now, he got hit a little bit in the Alabama game in the Orange Bowl, and, you know, that was really the first time we had a chance to see him, you know, face a little bit of adversity this season in terms of an opponent that, you know, really got after him. How is he going to respond to the NFL when week in, week out, it's like that every opponent. He's going to take some hits. Yes, he's a pass-first quarterback, but that athleticism to move around, buy those second-chance throws, the off-platform throws, that's a big part of his game. And so he's going to take some hits. It's just how does he respond? You know, when Johnny Manziel was coming out, he really, after his Heisman season, his redshirt sophomore year, he wore down towards the end of that season. I know that was a big conversation during his, you know, aside from everything else, the off-field, things like that. Just would he be able to hold up physically? Because I think he wore down throughout the course of a season in the SEC. And so that's going to be something with Kyler Murray that teams talk about.
And then don't forget too, Ross, where a couple of years ago, and this just occurred to me when you brought the question up, what was the big thing that everyone said when Teddy Bridgewater came out? Everyone poked fun. It was like, it was around this time, maybe it was after the combine. Oh, you know, Teddy, he's got skinny knees, right? Like, oh, he's got, you know, is he going to be able to hold up physically and be able to deal with the punishment at the NFL level? And look, it was a freak injury. It could have happened to anybody. But those are the kinds of things that you worry about is, you know, does a guy have the body structure to be able to hold up? The NFL is a game of attrition. You know, you're taking, you know, as Dane refers to the body armor, you're taking hit after hit, week after week, year after year. Are you going to be able to sustain that at 180 pounds? Like, and that's a legitimate question. It used to be if you were under, you know, 200, if you were under 208, that was a red flag for teams at the quarterback position. You're talking about a guy that is significantly less. I mean, that's a big deal. It's like Dane said, a lot of those guys that we talk about that are under 6'1", you know, the Russell Wilsons, the Baker Mayfields, they're at least a little bit thicker. We say this at other positions too. Darren Sproles at running back, yeah, he's very, very short, but he's rocked up. He's very thick. I mean, he's got the ability to withstand some of that punishment. That's going to be a big question with Kyler Murray.
Let's get into the combine snubs, Dane. I know both you and Fran talked about this, and you wrote a story about it, Dane. I mean, there's a bunch of names we can get into. Is there a guy that stood out to you more than any other, Dane, that you just can't believe that he's not going to the combine?
I'd probably have to go with Penny Hart, the wide receiver from Georgia State, who, you know, we talk about these underclassmen. We had record number of underclassmen coming out this year. You know, it's just a numbers game in terms of, you know, the combine, National and Blesto and the teams getting caught up on a lot of these juniors in time to put out the invites for the combine. And so Penny Hart was one of those names who kind of just went overlooked. And, you know, thankfully, as a redshirt junior, he had the opportunity to go to the Senior Bowl. And that was basically his combine, a chance to show out. And he absolutely did. No one could cover him. Down in Mobile that week at the Senior Bowl. So, you know, I think that he, you know, thankfully he had that opportunity. You know, Jim Nagy and his crew gave him that chance, and he showed out. He took advantage of it. Unfortunately, we won't get a chance to see him test. I think he tested outstanding. Like I said, with the explosiveness, the movement skills, no one could cover him. So I think Penny Hart would have done really well for himself in Indianapolis. Unfortunately, we won't get a chance to see him. We'll have to wait till his pro day. But just thankfully for the player, I think he hit the right high notes at Mobile, where I think his draft stock is high enough where teams are still interested.
Let me ask you this, Dane. 338 players were invited, right? How many guys get drafted, like 250, 260?
256.
Okay. So he's definitely one of the best 250, right? Like, he's going to get drafted. So how does that happen that he doesn't get invited to the combine?
Well, like I said, I think the underclassmen is a big part of it because, you know, a lot of these combine invites are already decided by December, by January. At least the seniors, and then they, hold aside X amount for underclassmen, and then once the underclassmen start coming out, this year we had, a record number, and so a lot of the guys are obvious. You know, Nick Bosa obviously getting a combine invite, but a guy like Penny Hart, redshirt junior from Georgia State, 5'8", 180, he's one of those guys. Darwin Thompson from Utah State is another one who, a junior, he came out early, who kind of went overlooked, but these guys are going to get drafted, and it's not really a surprise. Every year we see these guys who didn't get a combine invite still get invited. Last year we had 38 players who were not invited to the combine still get drafted. The average over the last 5 years is 35 players per year. So for all those players that did not receive a combine invite, the dream's not over. And honestly, it's funny. Talking to teams, I went over this combine list with a buddy of mine with a team, and I'm going through some names position by position, and I'd say a name, and he'd say, "Oh, dang, I'm so glad he wasn't invited to the combine," because they want to hide him a little bit. You know, they don't want him to be on the big stage of the combine. They want him to go a little bit overlooked, possibly. So, if a team's high on a player, they could possibly get him maybe a round later than they initially thought if you were going to be at the combine.
Dan, you mentioned a couple of those juniors that didn't make, Penny Hart, Darwin Thompson. I would throw Anthony Ratliff Williams, who I haven't studied, but the big receiver from North Carolina that had gotten some buzz. He wasn't invited either. But that, I guess you'd also say that there were a lot of these seniors that were, maybe considered sleepers by some. They had a nice senior season, were kind of banking on that combine invite, and just got bumped out because of that numbers game, because of all the juniors that declared. You throw in a guy like Divine Ozigbo, the running back from Nebraska, Michael Dogby from Temple, Olamide Zaccheaus, the wide receiver from Virginia, is a big guy that I like. Chris Westry is a DB from Kentucky. He was at the Senior Bowl. Isaiah Wharton from Rutgers. I mean, there's a big list there of guys that you can kind of put into that tier. Were there any of those guys that really stood out to you from the senior class that, that you wish were going to be at Indy?
Yeah, definitely. And, some of them were, they shined during the All-Star process. Wes Hills from Slippery Rock was outstanding at the NFLPA game. Got bumped up to the Senior Bowl. Unfortunately, he won't be there at the Combine. Juwan Bushel-Beatty from Michigan, a big offensive tackle, who would have liked to see at the Combine, won't be there. You mentioned Michael Dogby from Temple. That was a big oversight. Shocked he was not invited. I think he has a chance to be a mid-round pick, a fourth to sixth rounder. Ricky Walker from Virginia Tech, another defensive tackle I like a lot. Khalil Hodge from Buffalo. All this guy did is make tackles in the MAC. Over the last 3 years, he combined for 421 tackles. That's all he did. And unfortunately, we won't get a chance to see him. He was a JUCO guy, played 3 years for Buffalo. Anthony Johnson, Tyree Jackson, they'll both be at the combine. Unfortunately, Khalil Hodge won't be. Delvon Randall, another Temple kid, the safety, who, he's not a clean player. Watch his tape. It's kind of hard to trust him as a tackler, but he has impressive ball skills. It's really interesting to see how he tested, because there are times where he flashes and makes plays. So, just wanted to see, kind of put the quantitative data next to it. But unfortunately, we'll have to wait to the pro day to figure out more about Randall.
Yeah, it's going to be, I guess the last thing, Dane, before we let you go, I don't really understand the rule as it relates to, like, Jeffrey Simmons, where they don't have a guy with certain incidents in their background. They don't invite him to the combine. I mean, really all that does is just make that kid get on a lot more planes and makes those teams – spend a lot more money having to go down and meet with him and flying him in and having to talk to him again and people around him, which was, it's my understanding, the whole idea of the combine in the first place was back in the day, these guys were flying all over the place and getting x-rays all over the place. They wanted to have a centralized location. These guys that have gotten in trouble, I mean, those are the guys I would feel like, Dane, that need to be at the combine the most.
Yeah, no, I think you hit the nail on the head. The combine to me is not like it's not a reward. It's a job interview that for NFL teams, and you know all this is doing is making more work for NFL teams. Jeffrey Simmons is going to get drafted probably in the top 15 to 20 picks, and so all this is really doing is making it more work for NFL teams to, you know, go to his pro day, fly the kid in for private workout, and maybe they do that stuff anyways. But you know, combine should be an opportunity to learn more about the player. You know, the NFL is not going to win any awards for their handling of PR, and but that's all this is you know, the combine's become a TV event, and you know they're trying to save face a little bit, and this is one of the ways that they're doing it. I don't know. It's I don't understand it. It, you know, I'm by no means, and you know, are you condoning any of the actions or the reasons that they're not going to be there? But at the same time, it just makes more work for the teams. And I think I haven't been able to confirm this, but I think another player that this affected was the Wyoming defensive tackle, Johanna Gufon, defensive tackle who came out early, a junior, got in trouble in November for an incident in a hotel, and he was kind of suspended. It's a murky situation, but he's a draftable player. He did not get a combine invite, but his stock's kind of in limbo because of that incident, but I think it affects him as well, and teams are going to try and play catch-up to try and figure him out, and unfortunately, it's just going to put more work on the teams to do that. But yeah, Preston Williams, he's going to be off a lot of boards. His stuff's pretty bad. You know, maybe he gets drafted somewhere in the mid to late rounds, but you know, overall, it's a rule that doesn't make much sense.
Dane, you are the man. Always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for coming on the show and giving us a little flavor on Kyler Murray as well as these combine snubs. Thanks so much.
Anytime, guys. Enjoyed it.
Absolutely love talking with Dane. I know you've said this before, Fran, and I've heard and seen other people say it as well, but he is as close as we have in the media to a guy that actually works for a team and what it's like when you actually work for a team. So absolutely love getting Dane on. I'm absolutely loving, by the way, the AAF, which is awesome, too, to see all these guys that – some of these guys we've talked about on the College Draft Podcast, and now they're playing in the AAF. It's kind of funny. I'm glad they're getting a second chance. It also gives you guys a second chance to bet on football over at betonline.ag using the promo code PODCAST1. Why not? You get a 50% sign-up bonus, 50% when you use the promo code PODCAST1 over at betonline.ag. You know what's coming up, right? I mean, we got March Madness. We'll be here before you know it. Obviously, now's a good time to place some bets in the NBA, the NHL. But really, the AAF, it's pretty fun to watch. Now that we've seen all the teams play once, we'll talk about it today on the Even Money podcast as well, and how you can bet on the AAF, and you do it at betonline.ag using the promo code PODCAST1. Fran, I also wanted to get into Dane's rankings a little bit. We don't need to do it with him. We know what they are. He posts them over at The Athletic. But I wanted to get your reaction to some of Dane's rankings, his positional rankings, and some of the things that stood out to you there.
Yeah, I mean, he's been posting, you know, all of his positional rankings, like you said, and he's been kind of going through the offensive positions. I know he posted running back and both O-line spots. I think he did his tight ends as well. I have to go back and look at the receiver one. And really, you know, some of the things that stood out looking at the offensive line, Jonah Williams, number one O-tackle, I thought was big, you know, and obviously that may seem weird to say, like, that's an interesting note, because if you've been following this draft for the last, you know, 11 months, 10 months, then you know, oh, yeah, Jonah Williams, top 10 pick from Alabama. That hasn't been, you know, as consensus thinking as we may have thought, because a lot of people are saying, you know, he might drop. I know some people think that he could be better served at guard. You know, I watched him last week, Ross, and he's just such a good player. I mean, he just has a really good understanding of how to use his hands. He's not a supreme athlete. He's not really powerful. I mean, he's a shade over 300 pounds. We'll see what his official measurement is in a couple weeks here in Indianapolis. But, you know, he's going to come in with very short arms. He doesn't look the part in terms of being a franchise left tackle. But the guy just gets the job done. Yeah, he could play guard. That might be his best position. Maybe he is a Brandon Scherff, Zach Martin type of player. Now, he's different than those guys, though. I mean, Zach Martin and Brandon Scherff, they were people movers up front. And Jonah Williams isn't necessarily that. He's just more of a very crafty, smart offensive lineman. But it wouldn't shock me at all. And honestly, that's why I kind of view Juwan Taylor as being a higher upside pick at offensive tackle. We're talking about the right tackle from Florida. He's huge. He's got really impressive feet, and he can move people at the point of attack. He's got strength and power. So, you know, when you compare those two players, really good prospects, Taylor is really, really intriguing, probably a higher upside. Williams is a guy that's just so much more polished. He uses his hands much better than Taylor does. He's got better feet, I think, and more consistent footwork, moving in reverse than Juwan Taylor does. So, to me, that was one of the more interesting ones. I was really happy with his interior offensive line to see that Dame felt the same way that I do about Garrett Bradbury, the center from NC State. He's also played guard over the course of his career. To me, one of the best pure offensive linemen that I've studied from this class. Really, really excellent at reaching three techniques, using his lateral agility to get out in space. I think he's really good there. He uses his hands well. I thought he had a really good week of practice. He had some rough patches early in Mobile, but overall, a good week of practice. I think he won Offensive Line Player of the Week during the week of practice down there at the Senior Bowl. I really like Garrett Bradbury, so I was excited to see he got put as his number one interior guy.
So I got to check, Fran, as to when we are doing the positional ranking, you know, when we're doing O-line, because I believe we start to get into positional rankings next week. Is that right? Or is next week the combine
preview?
We're doing
we're going to start combine preview next week, and then after combine, we'll get into our positionals.
Love it, because I can't wait, because I'm going to watch these guys that I didn't watch before the season. So I've watched Jonah, but I want to see Cody Ford and Juwan Taylor and those guys a little bit. I want to study Bradbury a little bit more. From what I've seen of Bradbury, he reminds me a lot of almost like a Tom Nalen. Like, he looks like a zone scheme center. He has really good hands and lateral agility and quickness. So he looks to me like a Tom Nalen type.
I love that.
Yeah. And then as for Jonah Williams, dude, I've watched enough of him. He is a terrific football player.
Right? Let's not overthink it.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's funny because I interviewed Willie Colon recently, you know, for the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and I'm going to play that either Friday of this week or Monday of next week. And the guy played offensive tackle for 5 years for the Steelers at 6'3". And they won a Super Bowl, and he played at a pretty high level. And, I mean, Jonah Williams is 6'5". Maybe he's not 6'6", 6'7", 6'8". Maybe he doesn't have crazy long arms. But I've seen enough of him. He is so good. I mean, he looks like an NFL guy playing against college guys. So I think if you are Team Jonah concern or he's an inside guy, I think you put more stock in measurables than I do. I would like to – like, I put him at tackle, and I think he'll be a very good tackle. If you think he's a Pro Bowl guard and there's more value there, I'm not going to get mad at you for that. But I'm kind of with you on that. I like both those guys quite a bit. I just feel like when you get to the NFL, Fran, so much more of it is your brain and your technique than just raw physical ability. And those guys are both kind of off the charts on those things. So,
and
anyway,
I think one part of it too is that this whole process over the next few months and what's been already going on is, you know, teams are they've got 1,000 names, right? I mean, they've got so many names from around the country. And this whole process is about whittling down names. And so that's why at a lot of positions, they're going to have physical thresholds. They're going to have benchmarks that guys have to hit, because that helps to whittle down their draft board to, you know, 200 names, 175 names, 225 names. Every team's different, but they want to try and whittle those down. So anything that they can do to kind of set a threshold, let's say that for offensive tackles, it's, you know, 32.5-inch arms, or it's 32 3/8-inch arms. If Jonah Williams comes in and he's got 32 1/8-inch arms, teams are going to look at that and say, yeah, he doesn't meet our threshold. Like, it's not going to work. He can play guard for us, but that's going to affect his value. So every team will kind of view him differently. And that's just the unfortunate part of it. You know, for guys that have those kind of physical limitations, it's going to just whittle down the potential landing spots. But that's a big, big part of the process. But I agree with you wholeheartedly. To me, that's the way a guy plays, because not a lot of guys, Ross, and I don't know how you feel about this, a lot of guys don't get better once they get to the league, right? I say this now often, where I watch guys in the summer going into their final seasons in college, and then when I watch them again, it's rare that I see guys that completely overhaul their games. And then conversely, same thing, going on 1 year later, I'll watch a guy, you know, coming up through college, and then I'll watch him his rookie year. I'll watch him his second year. It's rare, you know, little things change here and there, but it's rare that I'm like, man, like, this guy completely fixed some of the big issues that he had in college. It happens, but it's rare. And so to me, when you have a guy that's like Jonah Williams that is so polished, it makes the transition really easy in my mind.
Last thought, Fran, and I think it's interesting, speaking of the position rankings, because stuff like this doesn't happen very often, but you and Dane have the exact same rankings for the top four running backs. Is that correct?
We see those top four guys very, very similarly. And you, anyone that's been listening to the show knows, and I know you know this, I love Damian Harris. To me, Damian Harris is the best running back in the class in terms of a guy that if I'm lining up tomorrow, I want to play right now, I'm going to take Damian Harris. Like, that's my guy. But you look at Josh Jacobs, I see why the upside's higher with Josh Jacobs. Obviously, he's a little bit younger, has a little bit more tread left, but he's got a little bit more juice. He can do a little bit more in the passing game. He can do some things for you that Harris just, you know, he just doesn't have those tools in his toolbox. So I think when you look at Josh Jacobs, you could probably say the same thing about Devin Singletary from FAU. This guy is all kinds of twitched up. He's got great lateral agility. He's got long speed, excels at making that first man miss. That's what makes David Montgomery from Iowa State special as well. Those are the four guys that are at the top of Dane's list. Those are the four guys that, to me, I would highlight as well. You know, I think you look at Jacobs, you look at Harris, Montgomery, Singletary, all four guys can make the first man miss. I would say the first three guys can really do different things for you on third down. That's the one question I do have about Montgomery is, you know, what can he be for you on third down? But all four of those guys are really, really intriguing players, and I think are going to be in that, you know, maybe not day one, but certainly in that high day two mix.
He is Fran Duffy. Make sure you check him out on Twitter at FDuffy3. He has that blue check mark that was life-changing for him. And clearly has put him in a new echelon of analyst. I am Ross Tucker. I absolutely love this show, the College Draft Podcast, and talking with you guys about it. Fran's got all kinds of stuff, all kinds of goodies, by the way, over at PhiladelphiaEagles.com. If you follow his Twitter handle, or at least just go to his page, you can see the stuff he posts. It's a busy day for RT Media. We're going to do Fantasy Feast today. We're going to do the Even Money podcast today. So those of you that listen to those, we're getting them to you a day earlier this week. Next week, we are doing a combine preview on the offensive side of the ball. So when you guys are watching that on TV, you'll know who to be looking at and what to be looking for. The same with the combine preview on defense the following week. Then we will start to dive into the position previews. I cannot wait to watch some of these O-linemen a little bit closer, because everybody always asks me, what do you think of the O-linemen? What do you think? Well, I'm going to watch them, and I'll tell you what I think when we come back and do the position previews in a couple weeks. But combine preview next week. He's Fran. I'm Ross. The keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft. Chuck. Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.